Here's Mike McIntosh to begin our broadcast today with this word of encouragement to allow God's love to change your heart.
And when you love God, God shows you things that the normal person doesn't see. And you begin to realize that God loves everybody. And since He loves everybody, more compassion comes out of your heart and more concern for other people. And what He is basically saying is, I'd give up my salvation if my countrymen and all these people would repent and turn to Jesus. Do you have that heart for anyone?
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
Tell You the Truth in Christ is the title of today's message from Mike McIntosh on CNV. The ninth chapter of Romans reveals the Apostle Paul's great desire for those he preached to that his words were truth and that the Holy Spirit bore witness to these truths that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He came to earth from heaven and freely sacrificed His life so that we could be free from the power of sin and death and live eternally with Him in heaven. Paul is so adamant in his plea that he wishes that God would take away his salvation in order for his fellow countrymen to receive Christ and believe. We have much to cover, so let's go to the teaching services of Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego and join Mike McIntosh.
The wrath of God was put on His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So you don't need to be ducking God that He's going to all of a sudden explode on you and disintegrate you. He's a Father. And He has told us that we reap what we sow. So if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap of the Spirit. So you are already His child. And then this process of 5 or 6 weeks, we're having all of our family together. And it is unique to get time alone with all the grandsons and granddaughters. And of course, to be with my own children. But to see this next generation of where the future brains are and thinkers and where the creative people are. It's just unique to see them and encourage them. Yesterday, sitting at lunch, one of our 4-year-old granddaughters recited the entire 23rd Psalm word for word. And she did it with complete confidence, without even flinching. It wasn't, now let's see, what is it? It was conversational. I thought, wowee. She's got a heart for the things of God and the Word of God. And just think, at that age, of the Scriptures filling her mind, how much easier it'll be when she's 10 years old or 13 years old. So I'll read this through with you, and then you'll just take some notes, and your life will be changed. This chapter can change your life just like chapter 8. But there are many pastors that come to a certain verse here, and they try to please everybody. And we'll get that out of the way right now. And that's verse 13. It is written, quote, he's quoting the Old Testament, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. See, you're already wondering, what in the world? God hates people? So I'm going to tell you something. I've read several commentaries. I've read this for years. And a lot of people like to whitewash it, mellow it out. The root of the word doesn't mean that He hated. But I'm going to give you some good news right now. The word and the root of the word means hated. So we'll look at that. So I'm not going to water it down. We've got the bad part out of the way. Now let's move forward. And knowing this, this is a good time while I'm speaking to write down people that you hate and ask God to forgive you for hating them. Aha, be honest with yourself. You have a list. It's a hit list. Our God and our Father, we come before You because only You can teach us. I thank You that every time I read, You teach me. And when I preach, You teach me. And I'm just so happy to just read and let Your Holy Spirit bring the truth out of this so it's not complex, but that it would open a door to these men and women, the radio audience throughout America and the internet, that they would see that You've taken care of everything. You've worked the plan of salvation. You have forgiven these people of their sin. All that's left is for them to ask for that forgiveness and repent of their sins and to follow you. That's all you ask. Just to love you and to love their neighbor. So, Father, I pray, even for ministers that would be listening or watching, that they would realize that they've spent 5, 10, 15, 25 years arguing over the position of predestination and the doctrines. And while arguing, they've missed the love of God. Please don't let anybody in the sound of my voice miss the love of God. That this is truth, but it's truth in love. So bless these men and women right now in Jesus' name. Bless them. Amen. All righty, get your pen out because there's going to be some highlights I'd like you to make. We're going to go slowly, but I want you to build a foundation. So underline this because he's being emphatic. I tell the truth in Christ. I tell the truth in Christ. So he's telling who's ever going to listen. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then I want you to know what you're going to hear is truth. He has just come from this fabulous 8th chapter that we spent several weeks on. And the 8th chapter gave complete liberation to you and me. And then he ended it by saying, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or principalities or powers, or things present or things that will come out in the future. There's no height, there's no depth, there's not any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And from that, he says in his next verse, we have it separated here. He says, listen to the readers. Remember, they're in the world capital of Rome. That's where the Roman Empire ruled from. Christians were in prison. They're in the catacombs having their fellowships instead of out having church services above ground. And so he's saying, you've got to trust me, because they're wondering who's going to chop their head off, who's going to persecute them, who's a Judas inside of their church, who's going to cause trouble in this core group, you know, and that type of thing. So he's very emphatic, and I want you to understand that's the foundation he's coming to, so that when you read this, you'll realize, wow, this is really kind of different and heavy. I don't know what to think of this. Well, here's what you do. You pray. Just pray and let the Holy Spirit do what Jesus said it would do in chapter 14 of John. That when he left in 15, when he left, it was expedient that he left the planet. We'd all want to hang on to him, but he said, no, I've got to go so that the Holy Ghost can come. That he's the comforter. When he does come, he shall lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, I like the Holy Spirit. He's fun to walk around with because he can show you things that other eyes don't see at all. There was a man on the back of a boat working, tied up to the dock in very shallow water. And somehow he fell over and he drowned. And that old man. So when the CSI got there, I showed him my credentials. And I said, I'm not trying to butt in. I would like to help if there's anybody traumatized here, because this man's body has been laying here next to the beach with the cover over him, and there's a lot of little kids that saw this, and what can we do? And he said, well, I don't know. You know, he could have had a heart attack and gone over. I don't know what happened, but I'll find out. And so I just hung around looking at people who was really upset or distressed, and the cops all looked good. There's 5 of them protecting his body. The dock was blocked by 2. There was nobody that seemed to be traumatized by this event. So I walked down the boardwalk and sat down. And here were a man and woman that were drunk. I'd watched them earlier at the beach. And they were on their boat that was anchored in the middle of the bay. And they paddled out to it, pulling a little rubber boat full of cases of beer and whatever else, you know. But we knew they were drunk by the way they were singing so loud that echoed across the water. And so they saw some people, and they invited them to start drinking with them. And so the lady from the boat climbs on a paddleboard, which she shouldn't have done, and she kept falling off of it. And I was really concerned for her. That she, here, just four houses away, while they're getting drunk, a man's life was lost. And they're out in the middle of the bay, falling off and unable to swim. So here's stupidity over here that could die in a minute. And here's somebody working that didn't know how to swim. And they died in a minute. And it's interesting that just 2 to 4 blocks away, there are things going on both sides of us that we have no idea about. We can't see everything. We can't be everywhere. But we can be truthful and honest that we are the sons and the daughters of God. So we're available for God anywhere He wants us to be. I was sitting there, and later that day, they paddled back and on their boards, and they had an empty thing. All the beer was gone. And she came up and asked if I had watched the stuff. And I said, I was kind of concerned about you. I saw you falling off that paddleboard. And she starts laughing. She was drunk. And I said, but did you know that a man drowned just right here, tied up to the dock in about 4 feet of water? No, I didn't. I said, and I saw you slipping off of that board 4 or 5 times and laughing and making fun of it, that you could have killed yourself, but I was ready to go. She says, you mean you're a complete stranger and you saw me doing that? And I said, yeah. And that you were willing to come and help me if I got in trouble? Yes. She said, I don't even know you or who you are. I said, but God knows you and He knows me. Well, I gotta get my stuff. She got her stuff and paddled away. She didn't want to hear anymore. But death is on the right side and death is on the left side, and time is stopped for those people. But you and I are still alive and breathing right now. So let's give God our best. Let's just give Him our best years, our best dreams and imaginations, and let Him fill them with truth. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. 3 things here. I tell the truth, I'm not lying, I have a conscience, and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness to what I'm going to say to you. So that's a great way to live your life anytime. Whenever you talk to anybody, you're going to tell the truth in Jesus. You're not lying. Your conscience, which means you're alive, bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. And what is it that He wants to make such an emphatic statement in this part of His letter? It's the next verse. That I have great sorrow. Now, we have read up to here many, many times the word sorrow is mentioned by Paul the Apostle. Suffering. These Christians were suffering. Christians today are suffering all over the continent of Africa. In Iran last year, when we could have rushed in and helped the people, they had the streets full with people making demonstrations. And many of them were part of this whole movement of the Holy Ghost that people are having visions in, not only now in Iran, that Jesus was appearing. He would just appear to them, and people that didn't know Him, they're Muslims, accepted Him. And now the word is coming back from people that are going in and out of Egypt. It's happening in Egypt because they're persecuting, stopping churches. In Syria, persecuting and stopping churches from having services and shutting them down and firebombing them in Iraq and different places. These are your brothers and sisters. This is happening right now as we worry about where we're going to eat. And they're dying for their faith all over the planet. It is happening. And so Paul was talking to these people and they had their guard up. Can we trust this guy? What is he going to tell us? Now he's telling, this is so important, I want you to know, I'm not a liar, I have a conscience, I tell you the truth, I have great sorrow. Now he's talked about sorrow. Chapter 5, he told us about sorrow. Very thoroughly he went through it of how this all works, that we can comfort people because they have sorrow. We get our eyes off of ourselves and we get them on God, we automatically start living a life that is sacrificial to other people. We quit being selfish. I have great sorrow. And I know that people that read this, they say, well, I have great sorrow too. I lost a wife. I lost a husband. I lost a brother. I lost, you know, or I lost my job, or they took my home. Sorrow comes in many shapes and forms. But look at the next part of that sentence. And continual grief in my heart. It's like chronic grief. He's grieving all day long. Some people would say, well, what does that mean? That he's a man of God and he's got sorrow and this grief going on in his heart all day long, chronic grief. What's causing this problem in his life? Now, it'd be one thing if he said, well, I'm a Christian and I have an addiction. I tell you, across the United States, here in San Diego, it is a pandemic, it's not epidemic, men into pornography. Christian men. Christian pastors. They just got hooked. And God revealed his truth. And people have to confess their sins. So if he was saying that I'm caught up in smoking medicinal marijuana, or I'm caught up getting drunk and I have a grief, I can't get rid of it. He's done that a long time ago. He isn't talking about himself in a sense that he has issues. He's dealt with his own issues quietly. He's the one that wrote, you don't need to be judged by any man, for you can judge yourself. We all know what's right and wrong. We're not stupid about ourselves. We are about everything else, maybe, but about ourselves, we know the subject pretty well. We've lived with ourselves all of our life. You ever thought of that? So we know everything about us. So the grief and the sorrow is this. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ. Otherwise, I'd lose my salvation. For my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. I have written in my Bible with pen, an amazing concern for souls. And I wrote on the side here, a heart for evangelism. And that should be the heart of an evangelist, secure in Jesus, because he has already said, ending that last chapter, nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus. But with his own free will, he is saying, God, I love these people so much. Well, why does he love them so much when they are so anti-God? Because he loves God, and when you love God, God shows you things that the normal person doesn't see. And you begin to realize that God loves everybody. And since he loves everybody, more compassion comes out of your heart and more concern for other people. And what he is basically saying is, I'd give up my salvation if my countrymen and all these people would repent and turn to Jesus. Do you have that heart for anyone? For our nation? For our city or our county? Do you have that for the 11 Western states? Do you have that love for yourself that you'd quit doing the things you're doing that are displeasing to God and die to yourself so that you could have the blessings of God? That's a pretty strong statement. And that's the same thing that Moses said. God was going to wipe out Israel while they were in the desert. And he said that if I wipe them out, I will make a new nation from your loins. And Moses said, I don't want to be the leader of a group of people. I don't want you making a new covenant other than Abraham's. No. If you won't forgive these people, then blot my name out of the book of life. It's one of the very first mentions in the Bible that there's a book in heaven with everybody's name. And at some points, he uses the word blot out the names, as if everybody that is born or conceived, their name is in the book of life. But as their heart gets hardened and they turn from God and go their whole life, 40 years, 60 years, 20 years, hardened towards God, their name gets blotted out. They're not in the book of life anymore. I don't know how that works, but it is there in the scripture. I have a great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, who are Israelites. He's pinpointed the group to whom pertain, and a lot of Christians take the Old Testament and say these are promises for the church, and they're not, because it says right here, this is for him to decide for his people, God. We are grafted in. To whom pertain the Israelites, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. That all belongs to them. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. He's the eternally blessed God. Amen. Wow. Jesus Christ came, who is the lover of all. See, he doesn't hate anybody in the concepts that we understand. He doesn't have any wrath for you. If you have given your heart to him and you've walked away from him, it's not as if he's going to send a fireball down and get you. He's a broken-hearted daddy when we turn from him. And he'd like to send the Holy Spirit after us, or a couple angels to protect us. But he's not full of wrath for you, because he put all of his wrath for you and me on his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross. Do you understand that? Everything that you have done, everything that you will do, was covered. But you say, oh, well, in that case, should I go out and sin some more? No, you don't. But you look at that and you say, God came down here in the flesh and he killed his only begotten Son for me? That's right. Now, if he, pertaining to eternal life, would redeem his own Son, how much more will he redeem you and me if we are adopted heirs to the throne of God? Being an adopted heir to the throne of God in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, tells us that all the blessings of creation were for him. And now all those blessings are being shared with you and me. If we had a Brinks armored truck out front, and we had $1 million for every one of you here in the gymnasium this morning, just a million, and they handed you that $1 million, would you be grateful? Huh? Would you? I'd take an extra million, wouldn't you? I mean, my other 20 are fading away. I'll take this one. Of course we would. And wouldn't we be somewhat grateful to the person that hands it to us that said, I'm giving this to you? Yeah. I'd remember their birthday. I'd send them a card at Christmas. I would at least do that, wouldn't I? Well, how much more that God has given you gazillions of dollars worth that you could never spend, of blessings and riches that are just waiting the minute you leave this body and go into the kingdom. Wow, that takes faith. But once you accept the fact that your Father, who art in heaven, that you are his daughter, you are his son, you now begin to understand the riches of glory in Christ Jesus that the book of Ephesians talked about when we studied it last year. There is so much that happens as we grow and mature as a Christian. We get more wisdom, we have more insight, we have discernment, we can answer questions that people are much smarter than us can't answer. We can help. And we hear that little voice beside us and behind us says, this is the way. Go in it. Turn left, turn right. And you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Christ came, who is lover of all, not the hater of all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. And, you know, everybody goes to a church service isn't a Christian or believer in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That doesn't make you a Christian just by attending a service, a high liturgical one or a kickback, easygoing one like this. You know, a place with millions of dollars of cameras and videos and flashbangs and smoke and, you know, SWAT teams running in and out on the stage and entertainment and Ferraris up there and examples of, you know, husband and his wife, and there's a bed up there one preacher had one time on television. No, you don't need anything but you and the Lord. You don't need the entertainment to draw you. If the fact that the Creator loves you so much that he would kill his own son and take your penalty away and give you all the rewards of creation, if that isn't enough to draw you to him, to worship him and praise him and to study about him, nothing is.
That thought from Mike McIntosh brings to a close our teaching for today on Chapter and Verse as we conclude part one of the message, I Tell You the Truth in Christ. It's encouraging to read about the heart of Paul, who at one time in his life persecuted Christians and now had so radically changed that he was willing to give up his own salvation in order for others to see the truth and be saved. May we all have such zeal for the lost. Join us on our next broadcast for the conclusion to this lesson from Pastor Mike. Before we go, if you're interested in additional spiritual resources, they're available at your fingertips 24 hours a day on our website at MikeMacintosh.com. Whatever your current area of Bible study, you can listen to a corresponding teaching by Mike in the sermon section under the teaching link. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Next time on CNV, we'll conclude the message, I Tell You the Truth in Christ. Chapter and verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.